God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
All right. Happy Independence Day to come, celebrating it, coming down. We got folks in Pennsylvania and North Carolina and all over, been shaking hands as much as I can. Hope you enjoy the air from the fans back there. You folks on the right and left, get right with God, we'll buy y'all some. Just, you know. Come all for the little money. Get you some fans. All right, we're so glad to be here, and thank you for the beautiful music. Thanks for the cards for little Frankie. He was so glad to get them up from Winston-Salem. He said, I forgot how many people love me. So please continue to send those, and be like Sam. Sam sends a card every Monday. First thing he does Monday morning is send a little card and a couple of bucks to little Frankie and Bradley, and it won't hurt you to do the same. Fred Collins is doing better. He went back to Mayo Clinic, and they pumped him up with that magic stuff they got. And he is healing a little bit better and feeling better. I've got to go up there tomorrow. A friend of mine shot and killed himself. And I have got to go and hold a very sad funeral. And I'll stop by and see Fred while I'm there. What we got? H. Lee's birthday presents that he gave us. The pictures. And H. Lee mounted them over there. My picture and all that by the bathroom. We want to thank H. Lee for that. I mean, you can't win one. Behind that blue column right there, you folks over there can see them immediately. Got people all over this morning. Thank you for coming. I know it's a hot summer day, but it's July and that's what we expect. How many people here for the first time? I'd like to welcome you. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Good to be here. We have about one, two, three, well, we've got four or five seats on the front row. If anybody would like to come up and sit and make yourself more comfortable, where'd the mayor go? I saw Marilyn and her husband a minute ago. She's in the building. And you want to come up front, girl? Gonna stay where you are? And don't argue with the mayor. Just leave her alone. And so we're glad you and your husband are here today, and everybody who's here. We thank you for doing that and going out of your way. If you brought your Bible, turn to the book of John. John 8, and we'll start at verse 31 after we pray and speak a little about freedom. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that indeed, in the name of Jesus, you set us free. And we thank you that you did that, for where would we be without you? Thank you that we can meet freely to hold a religious service once again in a country that was founded in your name and supposedly was supposed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give us the power to continue to do that, if you will. Thank you for those who allow us to have a place to do that and those who support us that we can do that. Thank you for those listening by radio and those on the World Wide Web. We thank you for their tuning in. And if you are, you didn't tune in by accident or you didn't come here by accident today. Somebody brought you here. This may be the crossroads of your life eternally, and you didn't know it, but you will before the hour's up. Lord Jesus, remove me from this place that you be heard. And anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. All that should be remembered, please have it be, that you above all be glorified. The church be edified and the band nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And for his sake, amen. Thank you again. If you go to verse 31, and we will read a few verses and attempt to expound them. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be of Abram's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abram's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that's told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. So we have a dissertation on freedom by the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can set you free. If you're giving money to the psychiatrist, just come here every Sunday. I'll let you put half what you're giving him in the briefcase, and I'll do you twice as good. That ought to be a deal in any man's memory. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed, if ye continue in my word, that means that it's a condition attached to him and following him. And too many people think, if I come to church every now and then and sit down and act half right during the week, surely I'll be counted in. Is it no? Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. It takes a man to be saved, to accept the Lord Jesus. That's his birth. He's a baby. He may be 80 years old, but he's a spiritual baby when he does that. And he needs to come and to study the word of God, and he needs to hide it in his mind. Bible says, hide the word in your mind so you won't sin against me. How can you play the game if you don't know the rules? And how can you know the rules if you won't read the rule book? And we've gotten out of that anymore. People say, well, it's too hard to read the scriptures. I don't understand. That's what I get to do for you. I get to help explain them. And Lord willing, we explain them correctly. And if I don't, I've already asked him to take it out of your mind. But we try to explain it as we've learned it and as it's revealed to us from above, as well as in the studies we do. But it's a continuing process that never ends. You will never understand all the scripture. I don't care how many times you read it. I'm thinking of my dad. He knew the Bible as well as any man ever met. And upon going home to be with the Lord at 75 years of age, I'd stop by to see him and pass him through town. And didn't matter when I came, he'd be studying that book. And when I left, he'd be back studying that book. Now, how much do you study that book? He said, about 14 hours a day. I said, you've been in this 60 years, you don't know it yet. And he said, you can be in it 600 years and you won't know it yet. And I stopped by and said, what you been studying? He said, I've been studying the Psalms for 6 months. So what'd you find? He said, everything. I said, everything. He said, everything in that book can be found in the Psalms if there was no New Testament. I said, how remarkable is the God who wrote it. How remarkable that it is indeed inspired, and that doesn't mean like Hemingway inspired to write his books, which were novels, or a great artist who was inspired. Grandma Moses was inspired to paint at 90 years of age, and Michelangelo and those fellows who could do all wonderful works of art, but that's not the same as the inspiration of Scripture. The inspiration of Scripture means God breathed in the Greek. Pas graphe theonostos, breathed of God. And you can stand assured that as you hold a New Testament and old in your hand today, that you have the Word of God in your hand. And the devil has attacked it since it's been written. with very little success, it always wins. I was glad last week, 2,000 years or so after the fact, the Dead Sea Scrolls have revealed another scroll, and that's been deciphered, and it goes ahead and explains exactly what 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells you, the rapture of the church, that the church will be taken out, and the whole thing. And I said, look here, 2,000 years ago, and the liberals wanted to do away with this book and have done everything they can to it to ruin it with no avail. They hit it with every hammer they got, but the anvil stands and the hammers wear out, and you can't do a thing with it except cooperate with it, for if you go up against it, it will rip you to shreds. So he said, if you continue in my word, and you need to do that, study at home, get your good study course, come to Bible study where we teach to the best of our ability, be in church and bring you Bible and follow along and see if we're telling you the truth, for we just preach from here. I know no other way. I don't know any other way to do it. If you want 3 points in a poem, you'll have to go somewhere else, because I don't know how to do that. All I know to do is to take the Bible, tell you what I read, explain what's between the lines, and hope you can apply it to your life. And that is continuing in your word. And we'll be studying as it was yesterday and trying to get ahead of you folks. And where we could look important, you know, I got to stay a page ahead. And I'm waking up at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning saying, well, I need to add that in, I need to underline that, and I need to do that. You can't get away from you. It consumes you. It just grabs you and holds you. In fact, my lawyer friend's here today from Florence who gave me a preacher study Bible. It's 14 volumes long. And they're doing the Old Testament now. I ordered them last week for $500. They came in, and I'll be forever reading them and studying them. I said, look at that. Well, I've got to go. And you got to learn all that and study that. And it's not a chore. It's a delight. And I figured out how to do it. Get up in the morning and eat your cereal and then read for 2 hours. Then go do what you do and come home and read 2 more hours. And then when you get ready at night to do something, read 2 more hours. You'd be surprised how much you can get in reading 4 or 6 hours a day. You'd be surprised what even I learned. I was surprised. I just wish my teachers were alive so I could show them, because they have written proof I didn't learn much coming up. Telling you the truth. So the following of Christ is a continual thing. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The next verse says, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And it's funny today that people are fulfilling prophecy. The Bible said the day will come when they will call right wrong and wrong right. And that's just one little sentence. You don't think much about that and said, well, everything would have to be backwards, isn't it? Did we not live to see it? Hand out Bibles in Russia and can't in America? I mean, is that upside down or what? Work hard, buy yourself a piece of property, have a home place, and the government says, well, if somebody wants to build a place on that, now they can. It's time for the people to revolt. They can go ahead and put me in jail. It's time for the people to stand up and say, no, we're not doing this anymore. When you say the majority rules and won't let it, we need to get you out of office. We need to change things. And with 9 people, right, when nine people can override 76% of the people in this country and say it's all right to kill a baby, something's gone awry. You've begun to call wrong right, and that's not right. It's wrong. Not hard to figure out. Old Dr. Bob used to say, wrong's wrong, right's right. Wrong will never be right, right will never be wrong, and don't you forget it. A pretty good theology course, wasn't it? So you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, what is the truth? The economist and the mathematician says, well, math is all in all, and all the formulas we have, and what do they call it? Quantum mechanics? Now they've even gone that far. They got quantum algebra now. And so 2 guys understand it. I mean, you know, they can only talk to each other. I don't know whether they know it or not. They may be hustling the rest of us. I said, I don't need quantum. I thought quantum mechanics was when more than four people worked on your car. I didn't know. I did not know. But I can understand the simple things. I can understand I need truth, and the truth will set me free. So I go and read this book and search for the truth. And there's so many books. Have you ever seen the Library of Congress? Have any idea what's in that one library? And so many books in the world, and I marvel at these bookstores in our town. How do they know which one to order and which ones will sell and which ones will be left? There's so many books. And hundreds of thousands written a year that never make it to print. And who has the truth? Where is the truth? How do you test for the truth? Well, the best way to test is to test the book. Did it predict something and it come true? How many times? We got one that's predicted 500 things in the future and they all came true. It's predicted 500 more to come true and things are lining up for them to come true. I would say we have the truth. And we know that Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Not a maybe. Ate lunch with a lady in the Baha group. If any of you are listening, keep listening. She was a big lady in that group. Not physically, but in her position. And I was invited to eat dinner with her, and she had a thing on the wall and had the fellow, I'm not making light of him, who heads up Baha'i, I can't pronounce his name, Bohuwala somebody, and then they had Buddha, and then they had Muhammad, and then they had Jesus right in the middle. And they said, he said, what do you think about that? I said, I think you got one out of place. She said, what do you mean? I said, that one in the middle is not just a man, ma'am. Don't line him up with the rest of them. The rest of them on there, he's forgot more than they know. You got a picture of Jesus, you got a picture of God. You got infinite wisdom, you got infinite intelligence. It's the all in all. He is the truth, not trying to spread part of it. He didn't say, I come to tell you how to get halfway to heaven. He didn't say, I died on the cross and shed the blood for some of your sins. He didn't say, follow me part way. He said, all or nothing. Jim, a motorcycle Jim, rides a motorcycle, comes in here, big old boy. I got the other Bible this morning. He gave me a sticker. I put it on there. And it says 99% Jesus, 99% won't do. That's a pretty good sticker. It's 100%. 100%. And if you're jumping in here and wherever you go to church and you just go down there and you'll see people and say, I go to church. You go to church? Yeah, go regular. What about that Christmas thing they had? I know right then. That's about the only time they went. Say, well, why should I go every Sunday? Because they hold it every Sunday. You need it every Sunday. If they're teaching the Bible, you need to go and learn that. It'll be a lot of Sundays before you know it. But once you get this truth in your soul and in your being, it indeed will make you free. So what does it make me free from? Well, book of Romans, rather, in 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. You see, sin is a captor. And we know about slavery in our part of the country because it started right down the road. Right? Charleston. And we know a great deal about slavery. I've met people who their grandmother was a slave. Talked to them. And I say, wait a minute, if I could just get free from sin like the slave got free from slavery, wouldn't that be a good day? Slavery still occurs in our world, by the way, and people selling each other in bondage, and it's terrible. But what about a man set free from sin? How'd that be? Sin can't affect me. Not at all. Can't touch me. I've been set free from sin. How did you do that? I followed the sin bearer, thank you. And he said, give me your sins. I'll bear them for you. And you'll be washed whiter than snow. And I said, and if I sin again, he said, confess them. They're covered too. It's all right. Well, that's a license to sin. No, it's a license to be free. And what slave doesn't welcome the word freedom more than any word in the world? What prisoner anywhere wouldn't like to hear that one word? You're free. Say what? You're free. You can go home. No more charges. You're free. What a welcome thing to hear at your house. Isn't that good? When your husband comes home and says, honey, you don't have to get the divorce. I've set you free. You don't have to go anywhere. You see, I'm a new man. I've been set free from sin. And your old husband's dead. And he died. I know a missionary who prints Bibles in his basement with a printing machine and sends them to the mission field. And he was once so hateful and so mean that he would come home and beat his wife. And then his children would run from him when he opened the door. And if he caught them doing something wrong, he'd stick their head in the toilet and almost drown them in that water. A mean, wretched, hateful man. And went to a revival and got set free. He came home and his children ran. His wife stepped back because she knew she's liable to get slapped at the door. And he said, no, you can step this way now. I've been set free. So you got a new husband. And she said, what? He said, I was set free tonight. I'm totally free. Where are my children? And the mama had to get them. They wouldn't come to him. And they brought him to him and he hugged him and said, son and daughter, you've got a new daddy. And they looked behind him to see if he had come in the door. And he said, no, it's me. But you've got a new daddy. Never again will I treat you like I've treated you. And that point on, kept them in church. He went in church. He began to study the word, became a missionary, and put all his money that he could spare in his printing press. He was a printer, and he started printing Bibles in his basement to send overseas to those who didn't have any. And I said, how wonderful is that? Is that free of what? The gentleman who gave me my Bible study is here tonight, and they're going to send 10,000 sets of those books to China. 10,000. They'll be preachers, right? Everybody that gets one will be a preacher, right? 10,000 preachers they're going to set free. And he said, you reckon your people would like to have a hand in that? We'll do that. We'll get a box up here real soon, Ian, if you get one, honey, and put one, and you'll know what that's for. And you putting a preacher free in China where he will get killed if he gets caught. And he's going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to set the prisoner free. But to have a hand in that's something, isn't it? And Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Isn't that good to know? What's the law of sin? Well, the Bible says, the soul who sinneth, it shall die. And some people have taken that scripture and twisted it and said, well, that means annihilation. You just don't exist anymore. No, annihilation isn't fair. That wouldn't be judgment, would it? Annihilation doesn't involve any judgment. It doesn't involve any pain. It doesn't involve any remorse. It involves nothing. You just don't exist anymore. Well, who cares? That's not punishment. That's a freebie, is what that is. But when Christ died for me and made me free from the law of sin and death, that meant if I sinned, it's already paid for. My soul cannot be counted as dead and out of the sight and out of the presence of God ever. For once I'm in him, I'm in forever. And he himself said, no man can take me out of your hand. Can't be done. Can't be done. And if the devil himself could get through the hand of the Lord Jesus, past the Holy Ghost, and through God the Father, he'd get saved himself. But that's not an option for him. He was already in and stepped out on his own. Romans 8:21 says, because the creature himself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we don't think of the bondage of corruption much. We don't hear language like that, do we? So, well, what is the bondage of corruption? Well, you see, we do it backwards, as we told you when we started off this morning. We say, well, I'm 21 now. I am free to start my way to being a helpless drunkard. We call it, now you're eligible to buy a beer. But the real definition is that is now you're eligible to kill yourself. Today you became eligible, my man, to get drunk, get in a car, and not only kill yourself, but you're free to kill another family you didn't even know. Isn't it a good day? Well, I never looked at it like that. I know you didn't. Well, I've gained free to do anything I want to do and contract any disease that may be out there. Isn't freedom good? Not that kind of freedom. You see, the freedom we speak of is the freedom in Christ, where we're free of that, and we're free not to do that. We're free when the crowd goes this way to go that way. A friend of mine, Earl Nightingale, used to be a motivational speaker. He's passed on now. He used to say, if the masses have done anything consistently, they've been consistently wrong. And you can pretty well know what everybody's doing. And isn't that the cry of the teenager? Well, everybody's doing it. Right? Isn't that the cry? Well, it must not be too bad. Everybody's in on this. We're all doing this now. That generally is a big clue to head in the other direction. When I used to make a lot of money, wasn't hung up with these two groups here, won't even buy their own fans. I used to buy me a suit about every 2 weeks. Had a lot of speaking engagements, but that wasn't when I bought them. I wanted the people to say, hey, look at me. And I had a guy in Charlotte, and I'd go down there and pick out a suit and look in the mirror like they do. Lying Charlie, I used to call it. Didn't matter what I put on. How's that look, Charlie? Made for you. Looks. Just lies. He learned real quick that there was going to be a battle because I tried one on, and it looked real good, and I liked it, and said, boy, this looks pretty good. And he said the magic words, everybody's buying them. I said, thank you, Charlie. I didn't want to join the army. Let's try something else on. If I want to look like everybody else, I'll join the service. We'll all dress alike. Worst thing you could say, don't they all say that? See? But you a fool. Who do you ask if you look good in it? Man trying to sell it to you. How's this look? It doesn't look good. Yeah, you looking good. $250. See, and we do everything backwards, see. But I'm free to go the way of Christ. They said, no, you in bondage to Christ. I hope so. Paul said, I'm a doulos. That's a bond slave. A bond slave joined the family. He wasn't like a servant you bought downtown on the block. This was a guy who offered himself up as a servant for your family. And he would work for you the rest of his life. In fact, by law, he became part of the family. You couldn't cut him out of the wheel. You had to include him in it. And as a symbol of what he was going to be and always be with your family, he'd knock a hole in his ear and he'd take a peg and he would nail himself to the door or the doorpost of your house just as a symbol. I'm here to stay. I'm nailing myself. I'm knocking this nail in my ear. I'm yours in servitude to you. And I said, that's what Paul said. He said, I'm a doulos. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ, and that's where you should be. You say, well, I don't want to wear my hair like that and dress like that. I didn't say that you were a bond slave of a certain group of people who thought they were Jesus Christ. That I'm a bond slave of Christ. I will follow him. Not what I wear, it's not what I live, it's not whether I drink Pepsis or don't. It's not whether I dance or not, or smoke a cigar or not. It's whether I know him as my Savior. That's what set me free. And I shall follow him. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, he happened to leave a guidebook here. You see, Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. His book is the written Word of God. Understand that? The greatest Bible conference ever held was held on the road to Emmaus. You remember the story when Jesus arose from the dead and the two disciples were walking down the road headed to Emmaus, about 6 miles from Jerusalem, and they were in a quandary and they were saying, oh me, oh my, what are we going to do? We thought this man might be the Messiah and get Rome off our back, and now they've nailed him to a cross, and here Jesus showed up. But he blinded their eyes and they didn't know who he was. Walked along with them, said, what you fellas talking about? He already knew because he told them what they were talking about. They should have caught on then, shouldn't they? But they didn't. They moaning their fate. And he said, wait a minute, my friend. The book that you read from Genesis to Malachi is written about me. And he started at the first and went to the last and pointed out to them everywhere that the Bible in the Old Testament spoke of him, the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? And there was the greatest Bible conference ever held. Here was the living Word of God explaining the written Word of God. I said, boy, I would have liked to have been at that one. What a conference. And only two attendees. One of them, by the way, might have been Luke. Jesus answered, and they said, we be, I'd never read that in the Bible. I love that expression anyhow. We be all right. Said, we be Abram's seed. We be Abram's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? You see, as usual, they misunderstood what he had said. They were talking about being in servitude to another nation. Well, we've never been in servitude. And they were lying. They'd been in Egypt. They'd been conquered by two or three others, and the Romans were giving them the deuce now. What do you mean? You ain't free. And Jesus said, wait a minute. Now, you've got me wrong. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He's the slave of sin. And that's the sneaky thing about sin. Nobody said it wasn't fun. Nobody said it wasn't popular. Nobody said it wasn't easy to fall into. Nobody said those things. What they said was, you stay there long enough and it will start controlling you. And it will undo your life. And if you don't do something about it, it will end up killing you. I have to hold a funeral, as I told you Tuesday. Oh, how hard that's going to be. A friend of mine, grew up with him. Played basketball with him, against him, for him. All my life. Beautiful guy, 6'3" or 4". Muscular all his life. Didn't do like a lot of us and get into the Krispy Kremes. He watched himself all his life. I mean, till 70. He was perfect condition. He'd run with you all day. In fact, 2 years ago, he and two other friends of mine almost made it to the finals of the national three-man basketball thing at his age. Terrific athlete. Good businessman. Been on deal after deal and invented deals and made money and did fine. As a matter of fact, he lives in Cliff Barrow's house in Greenville. When Cliff moved out of South Carolina to North Carolina, it's about a $700,000 house with 20 acres, and my friend lived there. Now, he'd heard the gospel. He had seen several of us turn to Christ. He sat under and had to hear on the radio Harold Seitler and Oliver Green and W. Norman Greenway, and he surely, when Bob Jones came to town with the university and the preacher students used to get on the street and aggravate everybody to death, giving you tracts and telling you the story of Jesus. And he had heard there. Little mama's 96 years old, still with us. Little Mill Hill lady, good Christian, wondered what happened. And my friend started to solving his problems with liquor and drugs. And instead of him controlling them, they began to control him. And he went to war with his wife, who had sought the same solution to her problems. And Tuesday, he put a gun to his head and blew himself to hell. How sad. Gospel-soaked. Over-preached. Overreached. It heard it again and again and again and again. Sought not to be a slave to Christ. Ended up being a slave to a bottle. The servant doesn't abide in the house forever, Jesus warns, but the son abides forever. You see, your sin's temporary. Folks who do cocaine that I know tell me that it doesn't last too long, and in just a few minutes, you're chasing the high, they call it. They don't understand how clever the devil is. You take that stuff and put it up your nose, and it will undo endomorphs in your brain. And that first time that happens, they say the truck unloads. But that never happens again. And from that point on, the terminology is you chasing the high. You'll never get back there. You can't reach it again. That's the hook. That's the hook of sin. Sure, it's pleasure. The man in here says he doesn't enjoy being with a woman in a motel. He's either gay or an idiot. Both in a world of trouble. But when that controls your life, you're in a world of trouble. See, I'm not an ignorant fool standing here. I know what girls are all about. Been there, done that, enjoyed it. Not to the point of running my wife away. Not to the point of giving you half my house and half my income forever. Not to the point of losing my children that I can only see twice a month. That thing enslaved you. You were in bondage to that. You were a fool. And will pay for it the rest of your life. How sad that sin can make a man a slave. And there's only one way to get to freedom. His name is Jesus. For he will come and set the prisoner free, he said. And the prisoner was you. And the prisoner was me. Verse 36 says, if the Son, if Jesus, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, these other things we talk about, they set you free for 20 minutes. They set you free for just a little while, and if God's blessed you with the income to have the car you drive, fine, that's good, but too many people want to buy the Cadillac and the show-off car, you know, to say, hey, look at me. I used to do that. Bought me an Eldorado. And I was cool. And all the guys on the corner thought I was cool. But I noticed I was the only one showed up at payment time. I said, this ain't too cool, because that month comes around real quick. And I got to do this for how many months so I can be cool to a guy waiting on the bus? It doesn't make much sense, does it? But we fall tempted to that, don't we? But when the Son makes you free, he'll make you free indeed. I remember I got a letter in college from my daddy, and I'd always ask him how things were going. He wrote back and said, well, having a little trouble with the car, the reverse went out. But that's all right. You should always go forward anyhow. Just the heck with it. See? And I said, what you going to do with somebody like that? What you going to do? Thank God. I know that you're Abraham's seed, he said, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Problem with America, problem with the church, problem with most preachers. My word hath no place in you. When's the last I had, not an argument, I wouldn't argue with somebody, had a little discussion with a lady the other day. Told me where she went to church. I said, good, get out there as soon as possible. She said, why? I said, I'll let you answer that question. When's the last time you heard, not a sermon, when's the last time you heard the mention of hell in your church? Well, I've never heard that there, I see. When's the last time you heard somebody tell you that Jesus was God in the flesh? He hadn't mentioned that, And I said, good, when is the last time at the end of the service somebody came to your preacher and said, I'm lost, I'm undone, I need a Savior, and I believe it's Christ. Would you show me how to be saved? Can I be saved? When's the last time anybody got saved at your church? She said, as far as I know, 4 years I've been there, nobody's been saved. I said, I'm going to tell you one more time, get out of there. Get out of there. Well, my mother's married, buried out back. She would come with you if she knew what they were preaching. The church is the place for the word of God, not for anything else. We've turned it around now. It's an hour of entertainment and 20 minutes preaching. They give Billy from the hardware store, who's a good man and saved, but he's not theologically astute, and he gets an hour in Sunday school, and they have a pastor who went to college seminary, has a PhD, and he gets 20 minutes. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. Somebody asked me yesterday, what you going to preach on tomorrow? I said, I'm going to preach, I'd say on an hour or so. You mean those people coming in and sitting in the hot sun because of you? I said, no, ain't nobody down there comes there because of me. But about 400 show up in the hot sun. So hear about Jesus. Right? And they come out of love. They come because they love him. And the word of God has a place in their heart. But you see, Jesus said, look, my word hath no place in you. And isn't it sad? I was laughing. The guy said he was at the bar up the street and got ridiculed for dropping in down here. And the other one said, well, I ain't been down there, but I know much about the Bible as you do. He said, well, I don't bet you do. He said, yes, I do. Go ahead and test me. He said, all right, give you $10 if you can repeat the Lord's Prayer. And the other one said, okay. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the guy said, here's your money. He said, what? He said, I didn't think you knew it. That's about what we got. That's about what we got. See, when you have the word of God in you, it will remind you not to go the way you're getting ready to go. It'll throw that stop sign up for you. Scriptures will come to you right on the back of the bikini. One will just pop up. You see them everywhere. You get a little reminder, no, I don't need to go there. If I go there, this is going to happen, then that's going to happen, and then I know my weakness and I'm going to happen. No, I'm not going to be there. I won't be there. Thank you. You don't have to say why. But when you have the word in you see, it takes care of you. Jesus said, you've rejected my word. You wonder why your churches is empty? They don't preach the word anymore. The children aren't taught up. This is the second generation where nobody went to Sunday school. Why are you surprised they shoot each other when they get mad? Isn't that what you taught them to do on television? You settle your problem with a gun. Somebody don't like it, you shoot him. Isn't that what we do? A kid by the age of 12 has seen 40,000 people killed on television. Now we have the recent ongoing war, wherever we happen to be in the world fighting somebody and have to be there. That's not the point. Now we watch the wars in our living room. Where did it enter the mind of any man who loves freedom to think maybe I would enjoy seeing somebody being shot and killed for me, who left their home and went to a foreign country to fight somebody they don't know so I could be free? What idiot decided to put that on television as entertainment? Should drape it in black and get on your knees before it and say, God bless you, boy, whoever you are. Died for me so I could be free. We let them lead us around like a bunch of puppets on collars, don't we? Don't stand up for what we believe. We need to do more of that. Us Christians got a lot of questions to answer when the Lord asks us, where were you when they killed 4,000 of my babies a week? Where were you when they kidnapped little children and murdered them? Where were you when they threw the Bible out of the schools? And where were you when people you know are beating their wife and you've yet to say anything about it because you don't want to lose your friendship? And Jesus looks at you and says, where were you? Boy, there's some tough questions coming. It's going to be a hard test, isn't it? Jesus said, if Abraham was your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. Abraham did not seek to kill the messengers of truth. He followed them. Abraham was saved by faith 400 years before the law came. We talked about faith last week. Abraham had the faith to take his only son and put him on an altar and draw back a knife to kill him simply because the God he followed said to. No other reason. Wonder if we'd do that or argue. And we're faced with, should I take that job or not? They're not my kind of people, and they're not doing the things I should do. And I wonder if I should take that job or not. Don't you know God will open another one? I was out of work one time a few years back, and as a lot of people do, take what they can. I went to one of these 7-Elevens, whatever they are, not the name of the company, but one of them. Now I am trying to work third shift, hating every minute. And finally came home and told my wife, I said, I quit. She said, why did you quit? You don't quit one job before you have another. And she was all upset and well should be. And I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But God didn't make me to sell beer, condoms, cigarettes, and pornographic magazines. And that's the trade at night where I work. And if I starve to death, I ain't going back. Wasn't long after that, met a little man right out there. He said, aren't you a preacher? And I said, yeah, I thought I was. Evidently not. If I can get two or three people together, will you tell me about Jesus and tell me about the Bible? I said, yeah, we will. And he got two or three together. And this is the result. This is the result. So he said, just do like Abraham, son. Don't worry about how it's going in. Don't worry about the middle part. You step in and follow me, and I will take care of everything else. And you know how hard that is to believe? It's hard for some of you, isn't it? It was hard for me. Well, God, I know you can make the planets by snapping your fingers, but, you know, getting me a job's another thing. No, he can handle that. Well, I've done so many people wrong, nobody will listen to me. I've done all my friends in, and there's nowhere else to go. And he said, just quit doing this and follow me. I'll take care of it. man after man, and he'll say, you know, I was in trouble at that beach, which is not an uncommon thing. And I came down to the pavilion just to see what y'all were doing. And my whole life has changed. And I said, isn't God good? Isn't God good? We got a letter from somebody in Iowa the other day. I don't even know where Iowa is. Somebody here had sent her a CD. Her life was falling apart. And she wrote a letter, and Ann said, come in, honey, read this. You're not going to believe it. And the lady talked about you and how y'all were so kind in sending her the CDs and that she had been listening and she had gotten saved. And she said, I just want to thank y'all for saving my life. I said, imagine it. Little old piece of vinyl. Inscribed with electronics. I don't know how Larry does that, but he gets them on there. Somebody ships them out to somebody who sends them on to Iowa, and a lady's whole life is turned around. Because here's the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? How about you today? Are you sitting here with these Jewish brethren and saying, well, now, I think you're a good man and a good teacher and a guru, and Jesus is your name, you say? Yeah. But to follow you, I don't know if I could turn my whole life over or not. How am I going to be sure you forgive those sins? I mean, there's so many religious gurus and so many religions. How do I know? You'll never know till you give yourself up, and then you'll know. He said, you're living in darkness, and I am the light. And I often wonder what it's like for a blind person, and they've got so many miraculous cures today. They're making people who were born blind, who they thought they could never help, making them see now. And I wonder what it would be like to be one of those children who had never seen anything but darkness. And then one day they see light and see their mother and see their friends and see their house and see their town and see their dog, and wonder how that would be. I don't have to wonder. For like you, I was blind. And now I see. And I had hate and don't have that anymore. And the certain things I was looking forward to do and created the opportunity to do them. I don't do that anymore. And now I'm free. And Independence Day on the 4th is when our nation celebrates freedom, and that's well and good, and God bless every man ever died and fought for this country. But that's not the freedom that'll give you freedom. The freedom came when a man named Jesus hung on a tree and said, I love he who hates me. Today I die for people who hate my guts. Today I die for the people who nailed the nails in my hands. Today, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And the person who put him there is standing here and sitting there. But he said, I'm not mad about it. I'll set you free. I'll make you a born again, blood washed son of the living God. Just believe that I died for you. If you've never done that, do that today. As we sing and pray, just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm not free. And I want to be. I want to be free to live for you. I want to be free to be clean. I want to be free to live righteously. I want to be free to live in heaven with you eternally. Please, Lord Jesus, set me free. And you pray that prayer today, and I promise he'll do his part. And your entire eternity will change. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for being amongst us today. For you said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be present too, and we welcome you. And we thank you for setting us free, and ask you to protect those on the battlefield who are fighting to set us free from tyranny today. God bless those men and women, and be with their families as they worry about them more so than we do. Lord, there's somebody here today who is not free. They're in bondage. They're slaves to some particular sin, and they need to be set free. And I'd ask as you move amongst them to stop a little while longer in front of those who are on the edge, on the verge, and have heard the story before, and they know of salvation but have never accepted you. And let this be their Independence Day when they are free indeed. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.